So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, to be here together with you. And to be together with these precious saints, Lord, these precious ladies who love you and are wanting to know more about you and wanting to know what your directions are for them. And Lord, we're thankful for each other. We are thankful, Lord, for the way that you have worked in our lives, Lord, that we need each other. And we're thankful, Lord, for your presence with us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come, Lord, and teach us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we look to you. We pray for our country. We pray, God, that you would minister in the way that is necessary, Lord. We pray, Father, for our leaders to come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, we give this, forgive us, Lord, for the way that we have allowed things. Because of our lack of prayer, our lack. But anyway, thank you, Lord, that you're in control, and remind us that you're in control, and keep us praying. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you are all praying at your times this year, right? You started out the new year, and you said, I'm going to pray every morning. And you still are, aren't you? And it's how far into January, and you're still doing it, aren't you? Yes, you are, because that prayer time with the Lord, that personal time with the Lord, is the most important part of your walk with him. To get his direction for your life, get his direction for that day. So invest that time with the Lord. And just enjoy it so much. And so as we look at, we're going to be teaching in 1st and 2nd Peter. And so I was looking at this and I was thinking, who is this guy, Peter? Who is this man? What do we know about this particular person? And I really would like to have a pen because I know you're going to give me some information because you're really helping the evening study right now. Okay, so it's said that he is the most relatable person in the Bible. Do you think that that's true? Relatable in terms of we all look at him and go, yeah, I do that. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, and that's me. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things about Peter that stand out to you? Just yell it out. It's okay. Walking on the water. Compulsive. He said he would never leave Jesus, and yet he did. Open mouth, insert foot. That's the one that stands out to most of us because that's the place that most of us are at, right? I very seldom wear nail polish on my toes because it doesn't taste good. Yep. He was the one who said that you are Jesus the Christ. And we are going to look at that today. My little list of things that I had him impetuous, impatient, and a little rough around the edges when we first meet him, isn't he? Just a little rough around the edges. He was particularly a fisherman. And that went with that. We know that he had three names, Simon, Cephas, and then Jesus changed it to Peter. And Peter, meaning the rock, meaning, well, that's a whole nother study as to what his name means and how it fits in there. So I have him being inquisitive. There were a number of times that he asked Jesus questions. He would ask. He was the first one to ask those questions. And he was also interested. He paid attention when Jesus spoke to him. We have record that he paid attention to what Jesus was saying. And so he was interested. We know that he was Jewish. We know that he was went back, kind of stayed in with that. And we're going to see how he also found out that it was for everyone. It was without partiality, that it was for the Jew and for the Greek and for the for everyone. We know that he was a hard worker. We know that he was courageous. He was courageous. He was bold. He seemed to be a man of few words. Do you think that's true? He seemed to just get right to the point. I love that about him. Get right to the point, let's deal with it, and let's get it over with. But he knew how to repent as well. He also knew how to get back to where he needed to be. And he was a teacher, but along with being a teacher, he was also a learner. If we, as people who teach, stop learning, stop listening, we've decided we've arrived, we know all there is to know about anything, then we have failed. We need to be constantly learning, constantly paying attention, and seeing what God has to say to us. And you know what? I do see him. He really is very much like me. He is a lover of God, and he was the person who was filled with hope. You see, we'll see him when we go into 1st and 2nd Peter, as he wrote these letters, you will see how much hope is involved in what he has to say. He was a person of hope. And you know what? A fisherman needs that, don't we? A fisherman needs to be a person of hope. Jesus will say to him later, I will make you to be fishers of men. And what happens? You put your hook out or you put your nets out, and what do? You hope that it will fill. And so, perfect person for what God called him to do. The very perfect person, as always. Not that I ever questioned that God did not do a perfect choice there. But how do I know these things about him? As I looked at the things that I had written down, I'm going through the book of Mark right now. Is anybody else following that plan that Pastor Bill? Yeah. So I'm reading through the book of Mark, and all through the book of Mark, it talks about Peter. And so, you know, there's things to say that maybe one did the writing for the other. I don't know about all of that, but I do know is that it was brief. In Mark, it's just Peter did this, Peter did that, Jesus said that to Peter, and so forth. And so that's where we're going to start our information from to find out about him. In chapter 1, we see that Simon and Andrew are out fishing, and Jesus comes to him, and he says, this is Mark chapter 1, and we see that he was called by God. Jesus said, follow me. And the next verse, which is, I believe it's verse 18, it says he immediately dropped his net and followed Jesus. When God comes to us, when Jesus comes to us in our prayer time, do we immediately drop what we're doing? When he says, when we're in the midst of something and he speaks to us, and he said, I want you to pray for so-and-so. I want you to pray for them. Do we drop our nets at that point and follow, walk in obedience to what he says? Peter was a man of obedience. He followed him immediately. In chapter 3, he received the name Peter by Jesus. In chapter 5, Jesus permitted no one to follow him in this particular instance except for Peter, James, and John, James' brother. And after chapter 8, after disciples, their misunderstanding about the leaven of the Pharisees, and we're talking about when there wasn't enough food for them, the Pharisees are the, okay, here's what happened. I'm trying to rush through this, so, but in chapter 8, there was a misunderstanding of the meaning of bread and of the meaning of leaven. And so it came to them when he healed the blind man and told the man to say nothing about him, go into the town, if that's possible, don't say anything. Then Jesus asked the disciples, because of the healing and so forth, Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And of course, they had their answers of who they said that Jesus was. But who was the first one who said, who put up his hand? I don't think he put up his hand. I think he blurted out. Peter said, you are the Christ. And other books say, the Son of the living God. He was the first one to make that announcement. However, it's only a little bit further in the conversation where Jesus has to say to Peter, because what happened? Peter took him aside after that. As Jesus tells him what's going to happen, Jesus and Peter takes him aside to rebuke him. Because you can't do this. You can't have this happen to you. You don't understand Jesus. You don't understand what's going on here. And Jesus turns around openly and says to the disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man. Was he saying that Peter was the devil? No. He was saying that just because you think you got it right the first time doesn't mean you don't have to listen the next time. Okay? And so then in chapter 9, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, only the three of them. He led them up to the mountains, to where he was transfigured. Peter said to Jesus, it's a good thing for us to be here. Oh, I'm so excited about us. Hey, guys, did you see what happened? We got to do something. I don't know what to do. We'll build three tabernacles. That's what we'll do. The next verse says the reason that he just kept talking was because he was afraid. Do we ever do that? We don't know what to say, but we just keep talking in hopes that maybe somehow we can figure out and work through our fear. But he was afraid, and he just kept talking, kept saying stuff. But then in chapter 10, Jesus is speaking to the rich young ruler, and you know the story, and the rich young ruler says that, I've done all these things since I was a kid. Jesus said, but this one thing you need to do, you need to let go of the stuff. How many of you have cleaned out your garage recently? How many of us have cleaned out our desk recently? Or we've cleaned out some area in our house, and there are things in there we don't want to let go of. And God is saying there are things in our lives, not so much the stuff, but there are things in our lives that we want to hang on to. And God's calling us this year to let go of those things. And only you know what God's telling you to let go of. But he wants us to let go. And Jesus spoke about how hard it was when he told him that he had to do that. It says that the young man went away sad. And Jesus went on to talk about how hard it was for a rich man to follow after, to enter into the kingdom. In fact, he said it's easier for a camel to make his way through the eye of a needle than it was for a rich person to get into the kingdom of God. And right away, the disciples said, but who can be saved then? Who can be saved? And God, of course, you know all of these stories. God says, no one are with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. This is what he's saying to Peter and to the disciples. And right away, Peter jumps up and goes, Jesus, do you sense what he's coming up to? Because he's a little bit fearful. Well, if a rich man barely makes it in, who, Well, we've left everything. We've left everything, Jesus. I follow you. I'm following everything that you have. And Jesus spoke to him, and he said, there's no person that's going to leave anything that will not be rewarded for what they left. But he says, if you leave, for what reason? For me and for the gospel. Not any other reason. Not because it was hard. Not because it was difficult to keep on the track, but because you are leaving for my sake and the gospel. And so then in 11, they drove out the money. Jesus drove out the money changers. Peter was the first one that brought his attention to the deal that happened with the fig tree. I know you guys are all going to go through this, and you're going to read Mark, and you're going to see what all of these little things are, right? Because right now it sounds like, especially if you haven't been reading Mark, you're going, yeah, okay. But you know, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but the thing about Peter was he was observant to the things that Jesus had done. He was observant when the fig tree was no longer producing. In fact, it had died. And so Jesus was able to say to him, have faith in God, in chapter 22 in chapter 11, but verse 22, he says, have faith in God. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe and you will receive it, but you must forgive. If you don't forgive, God cannot forgive you. That's something you want to look at again. Take another look at it and deal with it. Then in chapter 13, Jesus tells them that no stone is going to be left standing there. And so what is Peter's? They're at the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, John, Andrew asked privately. They got that private time with the Lord. Do you get private time with the Lord? Peter knew what it was to privately get with the Lord. When are these things going to be fulfilled? And Jesus filled them in on the last days. And the last thing that he said to him was, so you watch. You watch and pray. Watch, be alert. Are we alert to the things that are going on in our world? There are a lot of things that are going wrong. Someone was talking about the thing in Oklahoma where they wanted to erect the statue of Satan next to the Ten Commandments. And I thought, doesn't that give credence to the Ten Commandments? That there really is a Satan? That there really is somebody that was tempting us to not do those things? So anyhow, watch, pray, be alert. Be alert to the things that are going on. In chapter 14, Peter said, even if all turn their back on you, it's not going to be me. You know the story. You've heard it numerous times. This is the time when they're going into Gethsemane. Jesus told them to stay and watch. And Jesus found them sleeping. You know the story, but even Peter was there sleeping, not prepared. What happens? They come in to take him, and Peter's the first one to do what? Pick up the sword, cut off the ear of somebody who's attacking Jesus. I want to protect Jesus, and Jesus says, that's okay. I don't need you to protect me. I will protect you. He's made the statement, and then you find Peter where? Following from a distance. But here's the thing, he was still following. He may have been following from a distance. He may have been at the enemy's fire, but he was there. He was as close as he could be. Yes, he denied Jesus. But because of the way that he denied Jesus, remember Jesus had told him before the cock crows 2 times, you're going to deny me 3 times. And we saw that happen. And can you just get the look on Peter's face when he realizes what's happened. God fulfilled his word to him. Peter goes away, sticks around for all of that. And they went to the tomb in chapter 16, and the angel said, when they found the empty tomb, the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter what you have seen, and that he is to go to Galilee, and there you will see me. And so that's where we end off in Mark. Go to Galilee, and then I'll meet you there. But does that tell us much about Peter? Where do we go to find out what kind of person Peter was? This was all BC. This was before that commitment to Christ was made solid. We go to the book of Acts for that, don't we? Book of Acts. And in the first one, in chapter 1, again, we have him going to the house of Simon, to the mother-in-law. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus appoints the 12 of them, was Simon there. In Acts 1:13, Peter takes the lead. In chapter 2, Peter explains and explains again. He has a clarity on what God's teaching. In chapter 3, we see him in the temple. Peter said to the... as he was entering the temple and the person that wanted alms, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, Peter had learned the purpose and the power that was in the name of Jesus Christ. And so the man was raised. He was healed. In chapter 3, we also see him in verse 11. He gives the glory to God. He's not one to take the glory. He realizes that he is just a man. In chapter 4, he makes that statement that we're so familiar with. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you see the boldness that he speaks of through now? He uses that boldness that he's gotten from what happened in the early years with Jesus. In chapter 5, we have him confronting Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, who had lied to the Holy Spirit. He confronted that. He wasn't a man who feared men. He no longer feared people. He was able to stand and say exactly what God had told him to say. And then we have him in that chapter 5 healing people. We have him in chapter 5 being imprisoned. The angel opens the door. He tells them to go to the temple and speak the words of life. Peter went, and they went to the temple. And what happened? The Jews said to him, we told you that you can't say this thing. You cannot teach in this name anymore. And what is that? What's the last words that Peter had to say to him and all of the apostles? We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. When you have your children in school and they are telling you that you cannot say the name Jesus, you cannot have reference to Jesus, you can't have reference to anything religious, that is not true. Number one, it's not true. It is legal for you to do that. And number two, we need boldness. And we need to instill that in our children as well. And they are ready to kill Peter because of that. In chapter 8, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, where they came and they prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And you remember that a guy wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. They wanted to buy that gift. His name happened to be Simon, which was Peter's old name, right? And so Peter tells him, your money perish with you. You cannot buy what this is. This gift was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can't buy this. You can't be a phony on this one. And Peter spoke boldly to him about that. And then in chapter 9, he went to Lydda. Peter said, Jesus the Christ heals you. in 9:34. Arise, take your bed. And so the guy did at that time as well. And then in he went to Joppa, where Dorcas lived. You know the story of Dorcas. You know how she was raised up. But you know the first thing that happened when Jesus came to Peter, and he went to Simon and Andrew's house, the first thing that happened was we see that Peter was hospitable. He was hospitable. He brought him to his house, and there at his house was his mother-in-law at his house. Was she living with him, or were they living with her? I don't know. But she was sick, and Jesus healed her. So we see the hospitality that he had. And so he healed Dorcas. And then in chapter 10, we see the centurion Cornelius, who loved God and saw an angel that came and told him to send for Peter. And then Peter, at the same time, was praying. God spoke during his prayer time. And what did he speak during that prayer time? You remember that Cornelius was a centurion, so Cornelius was not a Jew. And so while Cornelius is being told to send for Peter, at the very same time, I see Peter praying. And in his prayer time, God gives him a vision. You know the vision of the sheet that came down with all of the things that had been deemed unclean for him to eat. And God said, spoke to him, and he said, eat of this. And Peter said, oh, no, I don't eat anything unclean. And God said to him that don't call what I call clean, don't call dirty. Here we have the explanation of exactly what was being said there. Because while Cornelius was praying, Cornelius, a Gentile, was praying to be and was told to send for Peter, Peter is being given the explanation that the message is for the Gentile as well as for the Jew. And Peter, in verse 43, is expounding on Jesus, saying, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, that is chapter 10, verse 43. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And while Peter stood there, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who could hear. What amazing thing would that be? You know, that doesn't even happen in church, does it? Because we're not all hearing. We're not all listening for the Spirit to speak to us. We're listening for the speaker. We're listening for the worship team. We're listening for all these other things. And then while we're doing that, our mind's making dinner. Right? But when we are listening and paying attention, being alert, the Holy Spirit comes to those who hear. And hear those words. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And then Peter baptized them. And because of what had happened, the apostles said, I don't understand what's going on here. Because they're not part of this. They're not part of what's going on here. And Peter told them of the vision that he had. And they understood. And at that time, they believed Peter and took God at his word. And then in chapter 12 of the book of Acts, we have Herod the king. And now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. And so when he had arrested him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but what was happening? Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Who comes to your mind? Saeed, Pastor Saeed, that constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. By the people who were lovers of God. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. He was bound with two chains, I want you to get a picture of what was going on here, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he punched Peter. He stuck him, it says, and on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Remember, chains between two soldiers. And then the angel said to him, "Get yourself together, get your clothes on, get your shoes on, let's get going." Verse 9. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I can't believe this is actually happening to me. Is this really happening to me? And we've also had those dreams too. And when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Is it anything like God closing the door on the ark? He opened up and let him through. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. The angel was just his escort out. What kind of powers were going on there? It was the power of the Holy Spirit that led him out. And what happened? And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Oh, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." What was expected? It was expected the next day that he was going to die because of the gospel. For the gospel's sakes. And so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, and you know that story. He knocked on the door, Rhoda comes to the door, and she hears his voice, and she goes, "Oh, it's Peter, and she runs from the door back to the people that were praying for his release. Now, she didn't react any differently than the rest of us would have reacted. You know, we really want to make fun, I want to make fun of her, but I would do the same thing. She was so excited. Here they all are in there praying for his release. He's standing at the door. She's excited. She runs into the prayer meeting. He's at the door. Oh, no, he is not. When you pray, believe, and you will receive. See, God had that bit of, had them in his mind. And so then he goes, she goes, they said, no, he can't be there. And then, oh, it must be his spirit. Okay, I can believe that his spirit was here, but I can't believe that he's here. That takes more faith than, yeah. So, and then Peter does what? He keeps knocking. So when somebody doesn't let you in, you know what, when someone won't let you into their life, will you keep knocking? Someone that maybe they have hurts in their lives that you know nothing about. And, well, I've tried to make friends with them. Yeah, well, keep knocking. Keep knocking. Someone, they will believe you. They will believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Just keep knocking. And so they let him in. And they told him, he told them everything that had happened, how he had gotten out, and how it was that he was there. And now he says to them what? Shh. Don't say anything about what you've seen or what I've told you. And that's the last time we see him in the book of Acts. Interesting. So what do we know about this man? What do we know about him now? Some of the things that we know about him is that he loved God more than anything else. He knew beyond shadow of a doubt that he was forgiven. Do you know that you're forgiven? He was bold. Are you bold for the gospel's sake? He was confident in his standing in Christ. Are you confident in your standing in Christ? He gave the glory to God. Will you give the glory to God? And please know that when I'm asking you these questions, I'm asking myself the same questions. Will I give the glory to Christ Jesus? Give the glory to God? Will I be obedient to God? Will I trust God? Trust. I had a conversation not that long ago with someone. We talked about the issue of trust and being in charge. Am I in charge because I don't trust? Or do I not trust because I want to be in charge? You know, but we want to put that trust in Christ. But here's the main thing about Peter. Peter loved the people enough to offend them if he needed to. He loved the people enough to offend them if he needed to. It wasn't the kind of love that, oh, everything's okay. You go ahead and do whatever you want to do. That's okay. You know it's hard. I was at my daughter's house the other day, and all of the kids said the same thing that all of my kids said when they were that age, and that all of us still say sometimes. It's too hard. I can't pick up that paper off the floor. It's too hard. And don't we do that? Sometimes God tells us to do some little simple thing, and it's too hard. It's just too hard. God's calling us this year to take up the hard things and to walk with him. And my prayer for you this week is that you would walk with him and that you would know his presence, that you would know his love, that you would be confident in your calling, that you would be confident in his love for you, and that you would continue on in the direction that he gives you. God bless you guys.
So wake up. Wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com. Or call 714-891-9495.